Folks, thank you so much for coming tonight. How you doing? Excellent. Let me begin. In the 1960s, I lived on a missile base in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, 7,400 miles from where I'm standing now. The missile base is on a little island called Kwajalein, 3 miles long, quarter mile wide, just north of the equator, summer all year round. Absolutely gorgeous place. The missile base is run by the U.S. Army, but it's not like an Army base. Most of the people living there are American civilians, engineers, programmers, analysts. My father was an electrical engineer, and their job is to develop and test the ideal missile that's going to shoot down incoming enemy missiles. This is where the Star Wars Defense Initiative was born. 60 years ago, long before Reagan made it famous. Now, you can find this place. It's still going on. It's top secret. But if you go online, they have a website. It's called the Ronald Reagan Anti-Ballistic Missile Test Site. Look it up tonight. That's where I was. Now, the Americans who lived there had lived all over the world. They're quite an interesting group of people. And there was also an international community of contractors there, so it's a fairly diverse place. My high school was actually quite diverse, and I was exposed to a lot of new perspectives and ideas. Nevertheless, I felt like I was totally out of it because I was way out there in the middle of the Pacific, and all the cool stuff was happening in the States. So in 1969, when we moved back to the States, I was ecstatic. We moved back 3 weeks after Woodstock. Everybody was talking about Woodstock. I said to myself, man, this is so cool. Now, I was 15. I was just starting to grow my hair out. I was deeply tanned from being in the sun all day, all the time. I was used to walking barefoot everywhere, all the time. The only thing I would wear on my feet if I wore anything was what we call the Jesus sandal. It was a leather thong from India. I had a way groovy wardrobe of bell bottoms. I had a fantastic record collection. Jimi Hendrix was my favorite. So I thought that I would be absolutely popular, irresistibly cool, when I entered my new high school. Problem was, we had moved to Winston-Salem, a sleepy tobacco town in North Carolina. So when I walked into this high school, even though we were on the cusp of 1970, it looked to me and it felt to me like 1960. The boys in my high school dressed like middle-aged golf pros. They had knit shirts that they tucked into these straight-legged, brightly colored blue, red, or green trousers with white belts and white loafers. Patent leather, white belts and white loafers. The girls were wearing saddle shoes with ankle socks. It was like a happy day's nightmare. I could not believe this. The boys, their hairstyle of choice was a modified pompadour. It looked like the kind of thing I'd see on old country western stars like Porter Wagner or Ferlin Husky. And the ideal car for the boys in my school was a muscle car, American V8, jacked to the max in the back, as loud as a jet engine. The car of my choice when I started driving was a VW van. Now, not only was I shocked when I walked into this high school, but I was also scared because the hallways were patrolled by the alpha males. And the alpha males were always off in their own little menacing cluster. And every other week, they would pick somebody to beat up. And you would have to meet your challenger after hours behind the school and have a fist fight. Well, I wanted nothing to do with this. So I said to myself, all right, you're going to be a regular guy this year. You're just going to hunker down. So I joined Junior Achievement. I sold stuff door to door. I joined the track team. I got good grades. I made no friends. I kept my head down, talked to nobody. By the end of the year, I was exhausted and miserable. So that summer, I came out as a freak. When I went back to school as a junior, my hair was to my shoulders. I was driving that VW van. I was wearing bell-bottom blue jeans, T-shirts to school every day. and I was protesting the Vietnam War. Now, I had gotten permission from my principal to sit at a table in front of the cafeteria every day at lunchtime and solicit signatures for my petition to end the Vietnam War. Now, you're probably asking, wait a minute, at this, like, Happy Days High School, your principal let you do that? Yeah, because I was their only freak. I was no threat. There were no powder kegs to ignite in that high school. And I was a good student. They probably said, whatever, let the freak do it. But now, I was a daily target of the alpha males. And they would corner me, usually in the bathroom, and they would say, "Why don't you get your hair cut, boy?" Now, I need to explain, back in these days, in the South, the worst thing a white male could say to another white male was to call him boy. This was the racist heritage of the Southern male, where it goes all the way back to the start of slavery, where the white man would call the black man boy to demean him, keep him in his place. So I'm mixed up in this racial, this thing that they're doing to me, because we didn't have any people of color, so I was the one. Now, there's no way to end an argument or get out of an argument with a redneck who wants to beat you up. Usually the argument ends with him saying, "You calling me a liar, boy?" Now, if you walked away the way I did, he'd call after you, "Hey, boy, what's the matter? You too pussy to do anything about it?" Now, I was an avowed pacifist. The next year when the draft called me up, I would be a conscientious objector. And let me tell you, it was not easy getting conscientious objector status in the South back in those days. But it was very difficult to deal with these guys because I was really frustrated, besides being scared. And sometimes I would just lose it. I'd turn around and I'd say, "Why don't you grow your hair out, man?" Now, I don't know why they didn't beat me up. I think I was so strange to them that they were kind of scared of me. Now, this is really difficult to walk away from these guys because it was like learning to walk barefoot over a bed of hot coals. And try as I could, you know, every day I would go home and I would just be drenched with anxiety sweat. And I was breaking out in these, it wasn't hives exactly, but it was these stress rashes I had in my scalp and all down my back. But I decided to go for broke. That spring, my junior year, I was going to run for president of the high school. So when I walked up to the dais to give my speech, I was gratified and absolutely surprised to hear clamorous applause from the freshmen and the sophomores. Apparently, they had been watching me. And I could see now that a number of those boys were growing their hair out. I can't remember what I said in my speech. It was typical stuff about new ideas, changes. There were two other candidates. One was the joke candidate, the guy who promised everybody free bubblegum for the year if he won. And then there was the tried and true perennial candidate, the guy who always ran, always won. He wore his blue blazer and his striped tie to every school event. Everybody was convinced he would win. Of course, the day election came. They announced the winner over the PA. And you guessed it. I won. Thank you very much. I won by 15 votes, but I won. Now, did I bring radical change to my high school? Not so much. Change in 1971, change was a tsunami sweeping over everything and everybody. I could hardly take credit for that. But when I came back my senior year as president, guess what? All those rednecks who used to corner me, they had grown their hair out. I couldn't find one pair of white loafers or saddle shoes. And, you know, I still, you know, they were cowards. They were hypocrites. I knew that. But I could hardly begrudge the changes that were coming so fast. And whereas these boys had once been inclined to flip me the finger, now they were just as inclined to flag me the peace sign. Now, even I, an advocate of change, was surprised that year when one of the debutantes fell in love with me, the bad boy, and I with her. And that spring, instead of going to the senior prom with her boyfriend of 3 years, she broke it off with him to go instead with me to a rock concert. Thank you.